The text for the sermon this morning comes from verse 51 and 52. And my translation is the literal one from the Greek text, so it might differ from the one that you find in the Pew Bible. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." The word for well can also mean has saved you. It has a double meaning in the Greek text. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on his way. This is a remarkable story for several reasons. It's the last healing miracle in Mark. And it's the only place in all the Gospels that a man's name is mentioned, a man that is healed. In all the Gospels, when a man or someone is healed, they are not called by a name. But in this case, his name is Bartimaeus, the Aramaic for son of Timaeus. Scholars argue that his name is mentioned because he became a prominent disciple of Jesus and he had prominence in the early Christian church. It's also in the same story in Luke and Matthew that his name is omitted. And in Matthew, it's not one blind beggar, but two. It's also the only place in Mark's gospel where Jesus is explicitly called the son of David. In comparison to Matthew, it's mentioned 9 times. And this is very important. This is important because we know that Mark is writing to Gentiles, to heathens who converted to Christianity. They were not Jews. So the son of David did not really mean anything for them. It only meant for them that the Messiah would come and the Messiah would heal the people that are sick. And let the blind see and the deaf hear. To them, that's the only importance. And maybe that's why Mark does not use it so often. The same is true of Luke. Luke also wrote to Gentiles who converted to Christianity. And he is using this only 2 times. So it meant for the listeners of Mark that Jesus was the beginning of a new age, the beginning of God's kingdom on earth. But let's look at the story. Mark tells us that Jesus came to Jericho. In order for Jesus to do this, he had to cross the Jordan 5 miles to the west, which brought him into the region of Judea. The city Jericho was situated 6 miles north of the Dead Sea and 21 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Jesus was now nearing the completion of his journey to Jerusalem. But the Jericho of the New Testament times were not the same place as the Jericho of the Old Testament. This old city of the Old Testament was destroyed, and a new city was being built by Herod the Great, 2 miles south of the old one. Mark says, Jesus, his disciples, and a large crowd were leaving the city when a blind man, Bartimaeus, calls out to Jesus. Why does Mark make a difference between Jesus and his disciples and the crowd? Maybe Mark wants to tell us that the crowd was not with Jesus and his disciples. They were merely pilgrims on the way to Jerusalem to celebrate the yearly Passover. They were not part of the disciples, the inner circle of Jesus. In those days, the blind, the lame, and all the others who could not engage in the traditional occupations, they could only support themselves by begging and normally by a busy roadside. Judaism considered it to be righteous to help them. These people had no honor, only shame. They were pushed on the boundaries of the society. These people were really ignored. And in this case, this man was also illiterate. He could not read. The only thing he knew about Jesus is what he had heard. So, there must have been quite a lot going on, a lot of talking going on about Jesus of Nazareth and what Jesus of Nazareth was doing on this earth. It must have been quite remarkable that this blind man who could not read, but only heard, that he believed Jesus is the Messiah. And then this attitude towards the blind man comes to the fore when the crowd hears him, calls out to Jesus. The crowd say to him, "Hush, be quiet, be content, know your place. Don't bother Jesus." But after a second time, he persistently cried out to Jesus. Jesus heard him and said they must bring him closer. And on this, the blind beggar does a remarkable thing. He throws away his cloak or his outer garment, and he got onto his feet and he came to Jesus. His outer garment was actually his most valuable possession, because it protected him from the freezing cold nights. And he also could have used it as a way of spreading it in front of him so that people can throw money on it. With this, he says something. He says, "I am trusting in Jesus. I'm leaving behind that is valuable to me. I forsake everything. I am trusting only in Jesus." And then Jesus asks him, "What can I do for you?" And then when he answers, he uses the stronger Aramaic word of addressing Jesus as Rabuni, which means my Lord, my Master. And this form only occurs once more in the New Testament, in John's Gospel, chapter 21. In this context, it's quite appropriate, because Bartimaeus was not expecting learning or knowledge from a teacher. No. He wanted much more. He wanted God to save and to heal him. And that's why he said, "I want to see." And then, without explaining the process of healing, Jesus says to him, "Go, your faith has healed you." And like I said, the word for healing can also mean to save. Jesus actually means two things. Go, you are physically healed and spiritually saved because of your faith in me. And then another remarkable thing happens. Bartimaeus follows Jesus. In the Greek text, it says he followed Jesus on the way, which was actually an actual technical term for discipleship. Bartimaeus did not go his own way. No, he followed Jesus. I think there are several things that we can learn from this remarkable miracle. We can relate to Bartimaeus in so many ways. Just like him, we also experience difficult times where we sit next to the road of life, begging for love and mercy. And in the case of Bartimaeus, he never lost hope to see again. He was persistent to see again. And when he heard Jesus was approaching, he cried out for help, despite the attempts of the crowd to silence him. He did not give up until Jesus called him. Do we do the same? Or do we just lose hope and faith after one prayer? And when people silence us about our faith and hope, do we listen to them? Do we allow them to silence us? I think Bartimaeus is teaching us a very important lesson of faith. As followers of Jesus Christ, we must be persistent in our following. We cannot allow anyone to silence us when we speak of the hope, the love, and the mercy that we received in the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. We cannot allow one opportunity to go by without telling someone of Jesus' redemption of human sin and misery. We cannot miss one opportunity to show people that we are touched by God's presence. Another important lesson is the fact that Jesus heard his persistent calling. Sometimes, when we are in difficult situations, we pray, and we wonder, does God hear us? In this case, God did hear him cry out. And in the same way, we must have faith and hope that God is listening to us. God will answer our prayers, but on the right time, when he feels it's best for us. Jesus heard him call out the second time. It learns us. We must never stop praying and never stop hoping. God promises us in his word, he will answer our prayers, but not in the same way as we might expect him to do. When Jesus called Bartimaeus, he left his most valuable possession, namely his outer garment, and he went to Jesus. He trusted wholeheartedly on Jesus to save and to heal him. Today, the same is happening to us. Jesus is calling us to his table. Today, he is reassuring us in faith that we are not alone. Do we put our trust in him? Do we believe him when he says he is there with us? Do we trust him when we experience difficulties like sickness, broken relationships, depression, anxieties, constant tiredness, human frailty, and even old age? What do we do when we go out of this building? Do we go out this morning with renewed hope and trust? Or do we just carry on with our lives as if nothing has happened? Bartimaeus did not carry on with his life. He decided to become a disciple of Jesus. And in a way, he was never the same. Though he could have carried on with his own ways, he chose a life in obedience to Christ. What do we do after we receive communion? We cannot leave this church this morning without being touched by the mercy and the love of God in Jesus Christ. We cannot go from here without shouting from the rooftops that God has saved us. We cannot go from here and leave one opportunity. We cannot go from here and not tell the people that God is in power. The presence of God is with us every moment of every day. We must go out today and tell everyone. Because maybe there will be just one opportunity. And that opportunity is now. May we all throw away our outer garments, all the earthly things that hinder us to live in a loving relationship with the Lord. Let us trust again in God. And may we never miss one opportunity to meet the Lord in prayer. Amen.